Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you, Lord, the praise, and we give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. So let that light shine in our hearts this morning and give revelation and understanding to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, let the words of my mouth be, Lord, as the pen of a ready writer. Let my doctrine drop as honeydew. Let it also minister to the hearers. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Give us, Lord, the finest of the wheat. God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I want to do, someone did ask a question about, looks like they wanted to know a little more. I've actually preached and taught on this, ask, seek, and knock, before. But I'm going to take the opportunity to bring it again today. And I call it triple action faith. Because there is the ask, there is the seek, and then there is the knock. So that makes it three things or three types of actions that we must perform when we are looking for something from God. This is so key. Now, Jesus often taught his disciples faith. Some of his most profound lessons on faith around the issue of assurance upon God's goodness and faithfulness, which is what this, topic is about. I want to read some scriptures from two gospels around this subject. And then we're going to try to unpack it and break it down. Praise the Lord. We'll also consider some hindrances to this concept. And then we'll see more exactly how you can use this to get more from the Lord. Two texts that I will be reading from. I mean, there will be other verses to explain the various points, but two major texts. One is Matthew 7, and we read this before, and I'll also be reading from Luke 11. So, let's start. The Luke 11 story is actually interesting because Luke added something else in there. Not quite like the way that Matthew reported it. So I'm going to read that one first, starting from Luke 11 and verse 5. Jesus said unto them, which of you, now remember, the first part of the chapter was that, one of his disciples had come to him and said, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, and he gave them that prayer template. Now, right after that, he said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and shall say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come unto me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, see, so that's a preceding lesson that Jesus gave. And he gave it in kind of like a story. He just said, well, if any of you goes to your friend's house late at night, or your neighbor's house and say, hey, look, you knock on their door and say, I need to borrow some loaves. I've got a visitor from out of town. Stores are now closed. I don't have anything to give him. The man from within, Jesus said, initially might say, go away, my kids are sleeping. You know, I can't do this right now. But if the man, see, here's the lesson. If the man at the door keeps knocking and the man within says, go away, you know, my kids are sleeping, I can't do this now. Well, if the man at the door does not stop knocking, well, the man within has a couple of choices. He can either hope that the man will go away or make him go away. So, you know, in hoping that the man will go away, when you tell him to go away, and they hope that he will go away. That's one choice. Or do something to make him go away. Well, the do something part is the one that Jesus was trying to emphasize. This man's not going away. So the man from within, he will going to have to get up and give him what he wants in order to get rid of him. You know, that's what he said. He's not going to get up and give him what he's asking just because it's his friend, but because of the nuisance that this man is causing, creating, and knocking at midnight, you know, and he's not going away. So if he keeps knocking, he's going to wake up the whole house. So you better get there quickly, give him what he's on, and get rid of him. It's amazing that Jesus told a story like that, you know, and Jesus told things like that, you know, and now he says this one, and I say unto you, ask. So this whole thing, this whole story is a prelude to this lesson of ask, seek, and knock, the way that Luke brought it out here. It says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, furthermore, he said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone instead of the bread? That's a question. Or if the son shall ask for fish, will him instead of fish give him a snake? Or if the son shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion instead of the egg? Now, he said, look, if you then, being naturally evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Here he calls the Holy Spirit, Matthew calls it good things. But, you know, let's just look at some of the way that Jesus gives this lesson are very profound, even though he uses simple words. I mean, he's going to use words like friend, knock, bread. He's going to use eggs, you know, fish, stone, bread, and so on. I mean, these are simple things that he's using. It's not, they're not very, you know, serious words, just natural words to understand, but they carry a profound lesson. Now, before I get to the ask, seek, and knock, let me bring something else out of this, you know, ask for stone, I mean, bread, give a stone kind of thing. The lesson Jesus is conveying there is this. We give good gifts to our kids when they ask him. So God obviously will do the same, even much more so. However, let me point something else out. The kid that asked for bread, and I've said this before, you know, the reason his father cannot give him a stone was because he did not ask for something. He asked for bread. Now, my argument is, if the son had gone to the father and asked him for something, father, can I have something? Yeah. It would be within the right of the man to give him a stone. because that's something. And he would not be counted as being wicked or evil or callous, you know, because the son asked for something. Now, which brings us another side element to this lesson is when we ask for something from God, let's be specific. Don't just be asking for quote unquote something. Be specific in what you ask. Don't ask for something when you want bread. Ask for bread. And when you want egg, ask for egg. When you want fish, ask for fish. So this is part of the lesson. Some people go to God in prayer and say, Lord, bless me. Sometimes I wonder, what exactly does that mean? Because the Bible says he has already blessed us. You know, we all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean when we pray and ask God to bless us? Well, why don't you be a little more specific, you know, and see what he wants, I mean, what you want him to do for you. Now, you can leave it up to God, and that's okay, if you have the kind of faith that can really draw things out. But it's better for us to be specific in what we want. And that way also, you know, there's accountability. When God does the thing, then you know. It wasn't happenstance or anything. This was something you specifically asked for. You know, so that's a side lesson. And it is important for us to pick up on that. Now, let's modify our prayer language a bit. Instead of asking, you know, God for generic blessings that we cannot pinpoint, you know, let's see if we can change that and be more specific, you know. And when you are more specific, Jesus is saying here that, you know, you cannot ask for one thing and then the Lord give you some, you know, negative thing instead. I mean, no child can chew on stone when he wants bread. You know, a snake will scare him away, and even a scorpion will sting him. So, you know, if we know how to do these things and give good gifts to our children, how much more, you know, will the Lord do for us? Praise the Lord. So, again, if you're praying for the Holy Spirit, you will not get the devil. Because, you know, I've known people to say that, you know, they're afraid, this and that. Why? You know, God will not give you the devil when you're asking for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, you know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, this concept is presented that God has blessed us, you know, with a lot of things, you know, already. So let us trust him when we come to him and be specific in what we want. All right. I'm going to leave that aspect alone. Just a side thing. Because that was, you know, I just wanted to bring that out. Let me get to our real lesson here. Now, in the book of Matthew, the way that Matthew presented it, similar but slightly different. So let's read the Matthew account. Matthew chapter 7, read the account that the way he put it here. And this was the one I was talking about the other day. Matthew chapter 7, let's start from verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This is the same thing that Luke said. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, so he again says the same story of if your son shall ask bread, give him stone, ask fish, give him serpent, ask, egg. This one, he didn't talk about the egg part, but ask egg, give him a scorpion and so forth. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things? This one says good things to them that ask him. So, let's consider that. But the part that I want to bring out though in this lesson more so is the ask, the seek, the knock, and the for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Why do I call it triple action faith? Well, because how do you spell ask? You spell it A-S-K. And if you take A-S-K as an acronym, you find that the A can represent ask, the S can represent seek, and the K can represent knock. And that's exactly how you spell ask. So one time the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, showed me that there were three actions that you must take sometimes even while you are asking. Because the ask itself is a triple action to bring forth. Within ask, there is ask, and then there is seek. And then there is knock. And Jesus explained it all. So let's take a closer look about that. That's what this lesson is about. Take a closer look at the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. And then we're going to also look at some of the things that can block this concept. We've been talking about some blockers and different things. But specifically in the area of asking, seeking, and knocking, there might still be other blockers that we need to identify. What was the purpose of Jesus in all of this? Well, so that he can teach his disciples, how to, be better fulfilled. We feel more fulfilled when our prayers are being answered. Or we perceive or believe or think that our prayers are being answered. Well, they are being answered anyway. That's the part that I want to also emphasize. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. The other day I was saying, if you know that everyone that asks receives, then you go with that assurance. So it has to do with assurance that I'm going to receive what I ask. Now, there are some areas in the scriptures that help us to understand that. And these lessons are intended to help us master our faith. Become faith masters or subject matter experts. We call them SMEs. Become an SME because it's a science. It works. Remember when we were doing the faith lab, we talked about, the science of things that work. You do it the same way each time, it works because it's a science. It's not guesswork. If you do these things this way, it works. Now, if you and I've been trying for a long time to teach people to grow their faith and become, subject matter experts. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So on this subject of faith, it's very, very important that you master it. You know how it works. You do it and it works. Now, ask. What does that mean? Petition God for something. Request something from God. there is also a way that asking might be more than just asking from a disadvantage point. Sometimes, many times, that's the way we pray. We pray from the point of a disadvantage. It's like we are begging God. That's a disadvantage. If you don't know that God already gave you, still begging for it. You're coming from a point of disadvantage. You need to come from a point of strength based on His promise, not just based on your faith, but based on what He already gave and He already said. So we come from a point of, you know, you make your request from a point of strength, not a, you know, point of, you know, disadvantage or, you know, self-incrimination, all these things. You know, well, you know, that may be the reason why we're not getting prayers answered. When God has given us assurance that if you ask, you will receive, then why do you come to God asking and wondering whether you will receive? See, that's the essence of this lesson. Again, that shows unbelief right there. And we're not sanctifying the word of God. God already said, you will receive. Everyone that asks receives. You know, so, well, if everyone that asks receives, and everyone that seeks finds, and if to him that knocks it shall be opened, you know, then why does it then look like we are not receiving? And why was Jesus stressing this? It's the same thing. If you ask, you receive. It's the same thing. Why do you need to seek if you are already receiving from your asking? Why do you need to knock if you are going to receive already from your seeking or find already? You know, so, but Jesus put out these three types of actions that we should pursue when we are believing God for something. Ask. Let's deal with that. You must ask with persistence in prayer. There are many verses of scripture that deal with that. I'll give you a few. In Luke chapter 11, this one we just read, we saw the story of this man that was persistent, which we just read, Luke 11:5-13. You can read that as a reference. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus was also talking about how we ought to ask and not to faint. So men ought always to ask and not to faint. That's what Jesus said. And he taught a story there of the woman who would go to the judge, ask for something, and the judge would do nothing because he cared not for none of those things. But because the woman kept asking him over and over again, you know, eventually he had to do something about it. So that's the persistence in prayer. Well, there's another aspect of asking too. Let's read that in Isaiah 45 and verse 11. Let's see how God put it out here. Now, if you understand and know how to use these things, you'll be better fulfilled. All the frustration and all the self-condemnation and so forth make us think that, oh, well, maybe God will give me, maybe not. Well, you need to get rid of that. You understand it from these scriptures. Isaiah 45, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my songs. I mean, there are many places where Jesus and the Lord gives us the invitations such as this. That's another one, a good one. Ask me things to come. And concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. There's no question mark there. You know, there's some later translations because they don't have the faith to believe that God can say this. They put a question mark there. There's no question mark there in the original. It's a statement and an invitation. It's not a question. Command ye me. You know, how does that work? Well, you know, how does it work that you can do these things? How can you even command, you know, the work of his hands? Say, concerning the work of my hands. Now, that's a different level of faith, but you can do it because God asked us to do it here. Ask me things to come. Well, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm not even going to read it, but, you know, you can find the story, and I've told it before, about Joshua. You know, this man, Joshua, he knew how to do something, you know. Let's read it just quickly. I won't read the whole story, but I'll just read a few verses in Joshua 10, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel. Now, let's see what Joshua said. Remember, verse 12 starts out by saying, Joshua spoke to the Lord. That's what he said. But let's see what Joshua actually did. Did he actually speak to the Lord? Well, let's find out. What did he say? He said, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. Is the son the Lord? Well, I told that he spoke to the Lord. And thou moon, stand still in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun obeyed. The sun stood still. The moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Now, this is what Joshua did. But we are told that he spoke to the Lord. But yeah, it doesn't look like he spoke to the Lord to me at all. It looks like he spoke to the works of God's hands, which are the sun and the moon, which God said, command ye me. So when you are able to speak and command the works of his God's hands, it's kind of like you're speaking to the Lord. Isaiah 45:11. It's right here. He did it. And the Lord honored it. Now you say, wow. Yes, because that's what it means. You know, you can command the things that God has created, and it will be like you're speaking to the Lord. Joshua spoke to the Lord, but it wasn't exactly the Lord he spoke to. It was the sun and moon he spoke to. And he commanded the sun and moon, which are the works of his hands, just like Isaiah 45. So there's the elements of this ask. It can go into tremendous dimensions. You can ask in a beggarly way, which is the way most of us pray. You know, we ask in a beggarly way. We don't even know the things that are given to us freely of God. You know, we told the story of the elder son in the prodigal son story. He didn't know that all those things belonged to him. And so he's still whining and complaining that his father didn't give him anything, whereas everything belonged to him. Now, that's like many of us, you know. So what are you going to do about this today? Well, you're going to change your posture of prayer. You know, rather than going and begging and waiting to see whether God will give it to you or not, you before you even go, you know that he has already given it to you. You know that you are going to receive it. And that changes everything. Changes the landscape. You know, because, and I gave the example the other day, you know, I said, look, you know, when you know that something is there and you can't find it, you keep looking because you know it's there. So, let me give you some more scriptures about ask. You know, ask. Even spiritual things, it's not just physical things. You know, sometimes we think, you know, when we are asking, it only means, you know, physical things. Ask for bread, ask for egg, ask for fish. Well, you know, it's not just physical things. Spiritual things, spiritual dimensions. every dimension of life. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, for instance, says, ask ye of the Lord, well, rain. Now, again, for farmers, they would understand this, because you need the planting rain, and then you need the harvesting rain. The harvesting rain is called the latter rain. Spiritually speaking, some folks say we're in the rain, in the season of the latter rain. Well, the Lord said then, ask me rain in the time of the latter rain. First of all, it is already time for that thing. Well, so ask me for it. Well, why do I need to ask if it's already time? Because God said so. That settles it. You know. So ask me for rain in the time of the latter rain, and the Lord shall. Look at the way the Lord always responds to these promptings for us to ask him something. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers. Now notice, to everyone grass in the field. It's again the same concept of everyone that asketh receives. Gives to everyone. You know, this is the way God does it. You know, if we are not receiving, well, that's on us. God's already giving and he is still giving. Now, that's another aspect of asking. You can ask even for spiritual things. You say, ask for the Holy Spirit. Father is not going to give you the devil. Ask for good things. It's not going to give you evil things. Well, then ask them. Why are you not asking? We're going to see some things, you know, why we're not getting, you know. In the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus, he spent quite a bit of time trying to teach his, you know, disciples, we now call apostles, faith. And by him telling them all these things, we learn from them those things too. John 16, 24 says, he that told you asked nothing in my name, or at that time. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, so every time he tells us to ask, there's always a promise behind it. God stands behind that thing. Say, you shall receive. You know, in order for your joy to be full. So Jesus was teaching faith, you know, make sure that the people are fulfilled, that joy is full. Ask, you will receive. Now, if you ask and it seems like you are not receiving, well, look again. That's part of this lesson today. So, but let me finish the subject of ask. I'm going to tell you about seek. And I'm also going to tell you about knock. But on this subject of ask, you know, you can look again at, I mean, you know, our preceding text, Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. That's a point blank promise there. You know, what about, you know, what the Lord even said in Psalm 2. Now, this goes to a dimension. If you don't know how to ask for bread and receive it, well, how can you ask for even bigger things? When even the little things that you ask, you doubt whether you receive it from God or not. Here's another thing. In Psalm 2 and verse 8, we know that this is prophetic for the Lord, but everything that the Lord is, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. And Jesus himself said it. He said, look, everything I have, I've shared with them. So, you know, the Bible says, calls us joint heirs with him, which means what he owns, we own. And so, if the scripture says this of Christ, well, it could have been very much said of us. Ask of me, and I will give thee the hidden for thy inheritance. That's a dimension, you know, it's called the hidden treasures of secret places, the treasures of darkness, the merchandise of Ethiopia, men of Sabaeans. You know, well, as a dimension, many of us have not even reached close to that, but it is there in the scriptures. You know, but you got to start with little things. You know, practice the little things. You know, if you can't run against footmen, how are you going to contend with horses? If you can't ask for simple daily things, give us this day our daily bread. If you can't ask that and believe that God will give it to you, well, are you going to get what, you know, the children of this world have amassed to themselves? Are you going to get it? You know, well, this scripture is saying you can get it. Well, how are you going to get it? There will be some folks that will figure it out. A transfer of wealth is coming, not to consume it upon themselves, but it's coming for the kingdom. And it is going to happen. But it's all about still asking. Everything that God does and gives and wants to give us, he wants us to ask. It's that simple. But when you ask in faith, knowing that he has already done it. Well, let's look about Psalm 62. You know, again, the persistence in prayer. Psalm 62 verses 6 and 7 gives us another aspect that when you're asking something from the Lord, you shouldn't be just, you know, ask and walk away and be discouraged if at first it doesn't look like you see it. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, we shall never hold their peace, night or day. They don't hold their peace. And God enjoys it. You know, he that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give the Lord no rest. These scriptures are in the Bible. I don't know how many people actually believe this, but it's in the Bible. You know, give the Lord no rest till he establish and he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, that was for them, but for you, till he give you that thing that you are believing for. He may already have given it until you receive it. Let's just put it that way. You know, and whatever. And if you know he has given it and you are not getting it, it seems, then ask him to show you how to look for it. That's what brings us to the subject of seek. Seek. Now, when we ask for something, ask God for something, anything. Yeah, you know, and if it's according to his will and you've met the conditions, we've spoken about that at length, then you know you got it. But then you don't see it. Well, you got to look for it then. That's where the subject of seek comes in. So that's why I call it triple action faith. The three angles of faith that you do in order to get this thing. But where you are going is based on, look, the end is already revealed. Because Jesus said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. That settles it. You know you receive. Because Jesus said it. And if you ask and you don't receive, then, well, why not? Well, we'll look at some blockers in a bit. But let me go through this first. So when you are seeking, what does it mean? Why must you seek when you've already asked? If you receive when you ask. I mean, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and you shall be open to it. For everyone that asks, receive it. If everyone that asks, receive it, why do I need to seek? Well, you need to seek sometimes because you may not be seeing what the Lord already gave you. You got to look for it. You know, so let's talk about seeking. Seeking is not just about asking. Sometimes we got to seek. There's a pursuit that is implied in seeking. And it's not just material things only. It's everything that we want from the Lord. You want a closer relationship. You want this. You want that. You got to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Now, let's read a few things. Psalm 27, verse 4. Let's look at how the psalmist talks about how he seeks after God. You know. And you can use this for spiritual things. You can use it for, physical things, material things, whatever. It's the same concept everywhere. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. See, that will I seek after. Well, in his case, he's talking about his desire, whatever he's seeking after in this case. Just so happens to be that he wants to be in the house of the Lord. For us, that's the presence of the Lord. God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. So our desire is to the presence of the Lord. But don't miss the salient point here. The salient point is this. What I desire, that's what I'm asking from God, I will also seek after. So this is the connection that I'm trying to bring out of this verse. Never mind what it is that he's desiring. But the fact that he is desiring it, but he's also seeking after it. So that ties the ask or the seek to the ask. Well, the ask may be something you're desiring from the Lord. He said, what things soever you desire, Jesus said. You know, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So desire is the ask. But the psalmist is saying, well, I've asked for it, but I'm going to also seek after it. So you see how, you know, the two things are tied together. Well, he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. We want to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Well, whatever else it is that you are asking or desiring from God, why don't you also seek after it? You know, think of somebody that, you know, you are in need of a job, for instance. How do you get a job? Well, if you need a job, you ask the Lord for it. Oh, Lord, I need a job, or I need a better job. Better paying job or better schedule in my job, or whatever it is, ask the Lord. But when you ask the Lord, well, after asking, say, I need a job, what must you do? It's a simple example. Are you just going to sit down and do nothing and then the job will just fall into your laps? Of course not. You're going to be out there, you know, seeking. Maybe you're looking at job employment forums, or you're preparing your resume or whatever. And you're doing something about that thing. You're putting out your resume. You are looking into those forums to see who's advertising. You're putting your, you know, and so on. You're actually actively seeking the thing. You know, do you know that even states that offer unemployment, I looked into this many years ago, even here in Arizona, when they offer unemployment, you can only file, I mean, your claim is valid only if you show evidence that you are actually actively seeking for employment. If you got laid off or whatever on your job, there are some conditions of job separation or job termination that, you know, can qualify for unemployment, because most here in Arizona, employers are required to carry unemployment insurance. But when you file the claim for unemployment insurance, you're required also to produce evidence that you are actively seeking for work. What does that mean? Even the people of the world, yeah, they don't want you to just sit down and be trying to claim unemployment when you're not even looking for work. You know, so, you know, when we are asking for something, be looking for it. Look for it. You know, if you lost something and you are asking God to help you find it, then you must be looking for the thing. You got to look. Otherwise, you can't find it. You got to look for it. So when looking for employment, that's why people say looking for employment. You know, you must be looking. You can't just pray alone. You pray, and God should show you where to look. And then you start to look. You know, that's how it works. Now, it looks simple, but it's real. And then you see that, well, here are a few other scriptures. Psalm 34 verse 4. Also gives you the same concept, you know, of not only must we desire, we must search. I sought the Lord, he said. Well, is the Lord missing that you are looking for him? It may appear so sometimes, but the Lord, you know, I read to you the scripture the other day. It said, thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. I mean, he wants us to seek after him. Seek after the Lord, if haply you might find him. You know, I told, you know, seek the Lord. You seek the Lord, he said. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Well, you know, and this man had testimony of various times that he sought the Lord. The Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses. He had that testimony. And God gives us this invitation, actually. It tells us, you know, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Are you telling me that there may be time when he may not be found? Well, what it means is that in the season when God is inviting you to seek, then you better seek in that season. Because, you know, he may be dishing out and you may be missing out. You know, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And so forth. You know, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and so forth. Return to the Lord. Seek the Lord, and he will have mercy, and he will pardon us. Now, these scriptures are about seeking. We got to seek after the Lord. You know, that's how we're going to find him. Jeremiah 29, this famous scripture that we read all the time. You read it just a couple of verses further down, you will see the same concept. So let's read from 11 to 13 of Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, the Lord already knows what he's going to give you. And by faith, we already know also, because we see the promise afar off by faith. Right? So we know. Now, because of that confidence that the Lord said he will give you the accepted end, in other words, everyone that asketh receiveth, well, you already know that going in, then ye shall call upon me, well, and then ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I mean, these things are there in the scriptures. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I mean, the scripture is replete with examples like this, where God is telling us, you seek for me, you will find me. I will be found of you when you shall search for me. Seek, not haphazardly. He's a rewarder of them that diligently. That's what the scripture says. Not just haphazardly. We got to be diligent in our searching and seeking for him. Well, we're also diligent because we know that he's going to do it, because he already said he's done it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. For he that cometh to God, see, don't even waste your time coming to God in prayer if you are not assured, you haven't assured yourself. That's why we did those lessons about quietness, peace, assurance, and so on. The assurance part, which is what we're dealing about 2 days ago, you know, assure yourself of this already, you know, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You already know that going in. Praise the Lord, you know. It's not guesswork as to whether he will give it to you. He will give it to you, because he already said so. Praise the Lord. You know, so we got to assure ourselves of these things. Hallelujah. Well, you know, there is an element of this seeking that Jesus, you know, also he brought out, you know, many times in some of his lessons. He was talking about, you know, even when he was talking about salvation and joy in heaven and so on and so forth, you know, he even gave an example here. We call it the parable of the lost coin. He said, well, what woman is there that will have 10 pieces of silver? Luke chapter 15, verse 8. If she shall lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and diligently, you know, seek for it until she find it. So again, this aspect of seeking is, you know, accompanied with diligence, not just haphazardly, not just, well, okay, if the Lord answers me, fine, if not, fine. Well, if you are like that, you're not going to get anything, you know, but you go in with confidence, knowing that he said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's it. You know, and when you found it, then you rejoice. So Jesus taught these same principles. So we've seen the ask, we've seen the seek. What about the knock? Why is it necessary for you to knock if you should have got it by asking and you should have got it by seeking? Why then must you knock? Well, Jesus is saying there are many ways, you know, that you can get your answer from God. There are many of these things you must do. If you ask, you know that you got it, but you can't see it, then look for it. You know, and sometimes I'm going to tell you something also too in this, seek and knock. So let's talk about knock. There is, you know, the Lord talks about even setting before us an open door. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 8, one of the, you know, the things he said to the church at Philadelphia is, look, I have set before you an open door, which no man can shut. In fact, he introduced himself by saying, I am the one that had the key of David. Open it, no man can shut, and shut, no man can open. Okay, yeah, you know, qualified himself by it to let you know that, look, these are my credentials. I can do this thing, you know. So now I've set before you an open door. But let me talk about the setting before you an open door. Well, the word set there implies that he has provisioned. Remember once we talked about, you know, how providence guard you and make constant provision to get you to your destiny. Well, set here means God has provisioned. You know, sometimes you see it right in front of you, but sometimes you got to look for it. Some people say, well, when one door closes, you look for a window, or one window closes, you look for a door. I don't know how they say it. You know, when a door closes, you look for a window. Well, God has set an open door. But sometimes you got to look for the door. There are some blinders sometimes that prevent us from seeing that open door that God has provisioned. That set means provision. I've set the door before you. And there was one time I saw in the spirit a door that had some huge hinges. You know, and every time you try to open this door, you push it open and the thing swings back and closes. And I'm like, why? Supposed to be an open door. Well, there are some hinges that can close that thing. We're going to talk about that in a bit. You know, it's supposed to be an open door. Why is it closing? You know, so when God says, I've set before you an open door, he's also going to instruct you to seek for that door. And when you find the door, you must knock on it. So you can see the three things there. You're asking God for something. He tells you, well, I've got a solution. And sometimes you have to look for the solution. You already know in your heart that there is a solution, because once you ask, you know that you receive, because that's what he said. Then you got to look for the solution, even if it's not immediately apparent. You got to look for it. In a case where it is a door that you must, you know, go through, well, you might get to the door and find that the door is not, I mean, locked. You say, but Lord, you said, you know what, maybe sometimes you got to knock. I mean, maybe you got to knock. And when you knock, don't knock and walk away. Listen, if you go to visit your friend, you know, and, you know, they're there because you see this time around, they're car is not parked inside the garage and locked. The car is outside on the driveway or on the, you know, carport or whatever. But you can see the car. So you know they are there, right? And you know, you really want to speak with them. When you knock on the door, you ring the doorbell and they don't respond. But you know they're there because you can see the cars right there. Are you going to just knock one time and walk away? This is the thing that many of us do in prayer when we're believing God for something. Yeah, sometimes. This is why Jesus tells his lessons of persistence in prayer. You know, you're going to knock and walk away when you know he's there. Well, you won't, because he may be in the back of the house. He may be in the yard, or he may be somewhere. So you're going to knock. You're going to wait a little bit. You're going to knock again. You know, you give him some time, you're going to knock again because you know he's in there. And he may not hear you the first time, so you're going to knock again. You're going to keep knocking. You're not going to walk away because you really want to get in there. See? So, but sometimes the way we behave in prayer is like we just ring that doorbell and walk away. Now, there are some people that come to your doorbell and ring your doorbell and walk away because they don't really want to get in the house. They just want to get your attention. Like, you know, the delivery guy that left Amazon will now come to your house and they're not going to wait for you anymore. So it's now contactless delivery. They're going to leave the thing. They're going to take a photo of the thing and send it to you. And they're just going to ring your doorbell once and leave just to get your attention as something is there. They don't really care to connect with you. Well, many of us are like that sometimes. You don't really, it's like we are not caring to hear from God. We knock, and just because the door is not open the first time we knock, then we just walk away. But yeah, we're not going to get anything that way. You keep knocking. That's the story Jesus told. You knock. The guy said, go away. See, knock some more. You know, you keep knocking. The guy has to get up and give you the thing because you are bothering him. You're going to wake up his whole house. Well, Jesus said, do it. So this is amazing. Yeah. Can you really bother God? Well, yeah, these are just terminologies. God doesn't, he's not bothered. He actually wants it. He loves it because he invites us to do it. But Jesus has to use our concepts, our terminologies and symbolisms, you know, and so forth. He tells a lot of anecdotal stories and different things. And Jesus is a great storyteller. You know, he tells these things just to get the point across. You're knocking, keep knocking until the door is open. Don't knock one time and then walk away. Even himself, you know, he said, look, the older I stand at the door and knock, Revelation 3:20, and he's knocking, waiting until you answer. And sometimes he's that patient. So when we must be persistent, when we knock, you know, keep knocking until the door is opened. Now, sometimes there are gates and barriers that will prevent you from even getting to the door. You know, sometimes there's a door that you need to get to. There's one or two houses here in my neighborhood that, you know, they have this little porch, and sometimes an extended porch. Sometimes there's a little garden in front. I have one. And then there's a little, you know, miniature wall they just build around the house. There's one or two houses here in this neighborhood where before you get to the door, there is a gate. They put a gate there because they don't even want, and they put a sign. You go beyond this gate, uninvited, you're trespassing. You know, so they put a gate there. Now, some houses like mine, there's no gate. You can walk up to the door. So I get a lot of things on my door because there's no gate. I remember when we used to go do neighborhood, you know, door-to-door witnessing. You go to some houses, you see the gate before you can even get to the door. And you might even see a sign that says, beware of dog. You know, because they don't want you there, whether there's dog or not. They put that sign there. But they don't even want you come inside. So sometimes gates can even prevent you from getting to the door. When the door is wide open, you know, we train people, when we train them to go door-to-door house, you know, and say, we see a gate, don't open it. You know, don't open it. Whether there's a symbol there or not, there's a reason why they put a gate there. If there's no gate, then walk freely to the door and knock. They don't answer. Knock again. They don't answer. And you leave your track there. And we train people like that. But if there's a gate, don't open that gate. That's the reason why they install that gate as an extra layer of security before you get to their door. Don't open that gate now. You know. So, gates sometimes can even prevent you from getting to the door. And, you know, more so, there are barriers sometimes. Bars that may be put. And some of us that, you know, live in places like Nigeria and stuff like that, we know how that works. And you got to put up gates, door barriers, you know, all these things on your door because, you know, there are some persistent thieves that want to get into your house. So you put these things up as a deterrent. It may or may not prevent them, but it's a deterrent. If a random thief that's not a professional, you know, hardcore criminal, you know, they're going around the neighborhood looking for which door they might break into. When they see those gates and so forth, they'll move on to the next house. So it's a deterrent, you know, because they're not really ready to break down that gate. So they just say, well, okay, that's a deterrent, move on. Well, the devil puts up these things to deter and be a deterrent for us to get through. That's why in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 2, the Lord talks about these things. There are certain things, gates and different things that are trying to prevent God's people from passing through. Now, what's a barrier or a roadblock? Well, it's something that is intended to prevent passage. You know, when they are doing in the city or whomsoever is constructing or doing something on the roads, they put a barrier. You know, in Nigeria, you know, when I was, you know, a young man living there, I used to see no thoroughfare, or we used to call it, was actually throughfare. You can't go through here. I used to joke with some of my friends about this thing, you know, call it something else. But anyway, you know, they don't want you to go through there. So they put a barrier there. You don't go through. You might have to look for a detour. Sometimes they'll be kind enough to show you the detour, but sometimes they're not. They just tell you roadblocked. That's it. You know, and it's up to you to figure out how to get to where you're going. You know, so these barriers, these roadblocks and so forth are intended to sometimes even prevent you from getting to the place where you can knock on the door. And sometimes the door is fortified behind it so that even when you try to open it, you can't open it. You know, I mean, these are barriers and these are different things. And I'll be talking to about those in a bit. Open ye the gates. Isaiah 26 and verse 2. That the righteous nation keepeth truth may enter in. God doesn't want us to be held back. The devil will try to hold you back. You know, hold you back with so many things. Right, you know. But the Lord has given us even the psalmist, he's, you know, when he was thinking about all of the goodness of the Lord, I mean, how that the Lord has done great things for his people and that people don't realize it sometimes. He lamented, you know, when he was saying, oh, that man would praise the Lord, he would say, you know, and why? Why do you want men to praise the Lord? Well, because, I mean, you can read it in Psalm 107. He said it about three different times there. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, verse 15, for his goodness, for his wonderful works with children of God, for he has broken, not that he will break, but he has already broken. I've broken the gates of brass that are trying to prevent your passage, even trying to prevent you from getting to the door. He has cut asunder the bars of iron that are trying to keep that door. And I saw the hinges you push the door, it's open, the hinges swing the door right back close again on you. Well, let me talk about some of those things now. So let me wrap up this segment of Ask, Seek, and Knock before I go into those things that may prevent, you know, what God already said. Now, you already know what it means to ask. What things soever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 11:22. You must ask, though. You know, don't expect, you know, God to give you something if you didn't ask, because he said you should ask. So ask and you shall receive. That's the promise. Because everyone that asks receives. Then we talk about seek. Sometimes you got to seek. When you are praying for something and God has a solution for you, sometimes you got to look for that solution. Look for it. You must convince yourself that the solution is out there somewhere. So you look for it. That's why in the series we were talking about of, you know, listening to God, finding God's purpose in your life, we talked about various ways that God speaks to us. And I assured the people, said, look, God is speaking. Jesus said it himself, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So when you think you're not hearing the voice of God, probably you are not listening in the right place, because you already said he's speaking and that you will hear it. So these are the ways that you assure yourself, you know, I already know that if I ask, I will receive, because he said everyone that asks receives. So when I ask and it looks like I didn't receive, well, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. So I got to look, because I know I received, you know. And you got to look. The other day I gave the example of, I know my package was delivered, but I look, I can't find it. But I got to keep looking, because I know it was delivered. So, you know, so, and it turned out on that particular day, it was not Amazon. Amazon would have taken a picture and sent it to me. They contracted with the United States Postal Service, USPS, and they put it in my mailbox. They didn't put it in my, but I always order from Amazon. So I was expecting in the front of my door. I didn't find it. You know, I was a bit nervous because it was a season where people walk around, try to steal things from people's door, you know, door fronts, you know, or doorsteps. So, but I kept looking. I know it's got to be somewhere. Then the thought occurred to me that, well, I should go and look in the mailbox. Now, the mailbox is not right in front of the house. It's a little ways down. You got to walk about half a block or so to get to it. So I grab the key to the mailbox and I go down there. And then I'm thinking in my head, you know, this thing's got to be larger than the mailbox. But then I remember that USPS also, they have a technique. You know, if something can't fit in your regular mailbox, they put a key in there that opens a larger box and they put that thing there. Only your key can open there, that larger box and your key. If it still can't fit in any of those things, then they might come put it in front of your house. But most of the time, they just put it there. It turned out that this thing that I was looking for was in that place. It was not in front of my house, but I had to go look for it. I walked down the street, go to that place and look. And the first one I looked wasn't there, but there was a key. And I knew it would be in the other place and I opened it. And why was I doing all of that? Because I knew that the thing was delivered. And if it's not in the first place that I looked, then I got to look again because I know it was delivered. So this is the same thing about how faith should be working for us. You already know you have it. Because Jesus said so. And if it looks like you don't have it, then you got to keep looking because you know you have it. It's got to be somewhere. I have it. Praise God. You know, say, give me a minute. You know, sometimes people ask you something. You know you have it, but you can't find it. Say, well, give me a minute. I know it's here somewhere. You look because you know it's there and you keep looking. It's the same thing with faith. You know, you can't just say, oh, because the first place you look, you didn't find it, then you stop. No. You know, because you know you have it, you got to keep looking until you see it. This is very important because it's there somewhere, you know. So, and sometimes it involves knocking on a door. The example I gave about looking for a job, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, go knock on a few doors, you know. That's how you look for a work, you know. I've listened to testimonies of people that walked into, you know, a building because they saw a sign that inquire within, you know, now hiring or whatever, you know, walk there, you know. But if you see that sign and you walk away, if you're interested in that job, you're never going to get it because the way they're hiring for that particular job is you got to apply within. Yeah, you know, so you got to go in there. You got to knock. I'm looking for a job. I'm responding to this ad. Whatever. Yeah. So all of these things tie together. Now, let me talk about the blockers that may be preventing us from not getting what God said he already gave. I'm going to talk about that more tomorrow, but I want to, because we've already talked about it, but I'm going to expatiate on it. But I want to just hint on a few things. If God promised that you receive when you ask, and you ask and you don't see it, then it's one of two things, or one of many things. It could be that, this is the one I'm trying to emphasize, that you're looking in the wrong place. That's, many of us do that at times. You know, myself included. You're looking in the wrong place. You lose something in the house, you're looking for it, you may be looking in the wrong place. In fact, there's something that we lost in the house that my wife found just today. I was looking for it in the wrong place. Just this thing and the cord for it, you know, some little hand thing that she uses on the muscles. We couldn't find the charger. And the room where it was plugged in, when she said she couldn't find it, I went and was looking for it in that room, because that's where she usually plugs it in. And it wasn't there. But I didn't look anywhere else, because it's always in that room. I knew it's got to be under. So I looked under the little table, whether it was there. It's not there. I looked under the bed. Maybe she used it when she was on the bed, fell on the bed. No, I didn't see it. Looked here, didn't see. So I said, well, I gave up. I don't know. Can't find this thing. And just today, we were talking about, well, I said, well, because she needed it. I said, okay, well, maybe we got to go to Amazon and order a part for this thing. And so I said, well, do you have a box? If I see the name, I can get you a cord. You know, and then while she was in prayer for the prayer room just this morning, and God, you know, God gave me this thing to buttress this lesson. Just today. This thing happened just today. We're just talking about it. During the day I'll order you another one. And then while she was getting ready to go to the prayer room, it occurred to her that she could look. She remembered. I think I brought that thing somewhere to this other room one time. Let me go look over there. And then she went and it was somewhere, you know, on the dressing table. Isn't that amazing? Well, why didn't I find it? Well, because I was looking in the wrong place. that goes on like, wow. And this happened just this morning. She even talked about it in the prayer room. She just kind of couched it when she mentioned it. But I saw it as a confirmation of this lesson. Because if you are looking in the wrong place, you're not going to see the thing. You got to look in the right place. I was looking in that other room because that's where I thought it was, for sure. Because I know that's where she used it. And I know where she used to plug it in. And in fact, one piece of the charger cord was still in that room. It's a two-piece thing. You know, and so got to be here somewhere, but it wasn't there. And, you know, you got to look in the right place in order to find it. And she finally looked in the right place this morning. She found it. Praise the Lord for that. And that's a testimony too. You know, but it buttresses this lesson that you got to look in the right place. And then sometimes when we are asking and we're not receiving, there are many lessons behind that. I want to save that for, so that I won't rush. I'm going to save that for tomorrow. The reasons why, you know, you ask, you don't receive. The reasons why you seek, you don't find. The reasons why you knock and it's not opened. Even though it says it'll be opened. Well, why is the door not open there? Well, maybe it is. And maybe you just got to figure out, you know. And sometimes you need a key to open a door. It's not every door that you can open without a key. Some doors you can. Some you need a key. And if you have a whole bunch of keys and a whole bunch of doors, you got to know which key opens which door. I think I gave this, let me give this last testimony and then I'll stop it here. You know, when we moved into this building that we are now, that we have our local church services in, GMI Church, huge building, the people that were there before us, and they handed the keys, they gave us this, the janitor had this, I don't know, and I'm telling you, it could be more than 20 keys or 30 keys, I don't know, it was a huge bunch of keys. And this building has dozens of doors. It's all over the place. There are some people that have been coming to that building for years and still have not discovered all the places in that building. Now, huge place. But a lot of doors, a lot of keys. And give me the keys. And like, which key opens which door? He has figured it out. I think he had a little bit color coding and so forth too. He has figured it out. I'm like, how in the world am I going to figure out which key opens which door? I had like 20 or 30 keys, a big bunch of keys. I said, no, I can't deal with this, you know. So you got to know which key opens which door. Yes, and it's like we just hand people a whole bunch of promises. Say, well, here's a lot of promises about healing. Here's a lot of these about that. Here's a lot. That's just a bunch of keys. You don't know which one opens which. You got to figure out which one opens which one. So what I did to figure it out, like, we call a locksmith. I can't deal with this thing. You know, go through all these doors, you know, re-key the whole thing. Give me one key that opens everything. And give me another key that opens this one, but not this one. And, you know, we trimmed it down to maybe 3 or 4 keys out of the 30-something or 20-something keys. Well, why am I saying that? It's because if you don't know, even if you have the bunch of keys in your hand and a bunch of doors, and you don't know which key opens which door, you still may not get into or through that door. You may not get into that room. You may not get through that door because you don't know which key. So tons of keys and which door. You know, so that's why it's important for us to understand the way God presents these things to us. I'm going to leave that there today. That's enough said for one day. Enough said, as some people say. You know, tomorrow I'm going to talk about something else that God wants us to do, you know, as part of knocking. Then I'm going to talk about the things that may prevent us, you know, from getting, you know, what we are asking for. So that's our lesson for today. I'll come back and finish it up tomorrow. Again, we'll be talking about some things that God wants you to do when you're knocking. May show it one way or another way and things like that. And we'll be talking about, you know, identifying those things that are trying to make sure you don't get the answers. So we'll talk about some of those some more. Father, I thank you, Lord, because of the lesson we've shared today. Another reminder of the things which we have already known. Peter said, you know, I will not be negligent in reminding you of these things, though you know them and you are established in the present truth, but I want to always remind you again. Lord, we thank you again for the reminder, helping us to sharpen the elements of our faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will interpret these things in our hearts. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.